Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Joining us now on the line, he is our returning champion. You get him a day early today. I'll be out tomorrow, but State Senator Chris Elliott is with us. Senator, how are you?
Ben, I am great. I'm glad our little storm has passed here and the sun's back out and looks like it's going to be a nice weekend.
Yeah, the storm, it's just kind of you do a little stress test, I guess, and see if we're aware and ready for inclement weather.
Indeed. It was a little bit, more impacts right immediately along the coast. But other than that, I bet nobody else really even knew it other than the rain.
Well, tell me, let's start here. And this has kind of been a topic of discussion. And the missed opportunity will close primaries and what the vice chairwoman of the Democratic Party is saying, which contradicts what the chairman and his party boss are saying. But still, it's out there that, hey, Democrats need to vote in that August 11th primary. And normally you just kind of scout that off like, okay, whatever. But, I mean, this is a low turnout election. This is something that could matter potentially.
Yeah, she said the quiet part out loud, right? I like to see the conflict and the confusion amongst Democrat leadership, for sure. That's a good thing for Republicans, and they can infight all they want to, and let them go at it. But what the vice chairman is saying there is that Democrats need to try to impact and influence a Republican primary election, and so that certainly is something that that could be, it's not a primary, right? Excuse me. It's the election. It's not, there's no runoff. It's just the primary there, winner take all. And so it'll be interesting to see if they do that and if they show up and if they listen to her or if anyone is really paying attention. I think we'll have less than 10% voter turnout altogether.
But that's what makes it a little more intriguing, because in a low turnout event, Republicans don't show up, then is it unlikely but possible there's a lane there that Democrats could sway enough votes to pick a less desirable candidate?
It is possible. I think that, practically the front runners, if you look at polling, are really so far ahead that it would be unlikely. But it's possible that they could certainly impact the elections. And look, this is not anything new, right? Democrats have in Alabama have been playing in Republican primary elections, for a long time. That's not a secret, and that's not a new thing. And until and unless, we decide that closing primaries is the right way to go, and I'm not confident that it is, but I think it needs more discussion. Then we'll continue to see folks decide, hey, there's no reason for me to vote in a Democrat primary. They're not going to win a general election. Let me go play in this Republican primary instead.
Well, does Eisner's comments, does that sway anybody? I would think that it does debunk an argument that this isn't really happening. This isn't a thing. You guys are just a solution looking for a problem.
I think that Tabitha is going to find out that her megaphone isn't quite what she thinks it is, and that it practically does not have nearly as much impact as she would like for it to have.
Well, and still though, the principle of it, and your friend Tom Watley, I think, was a victim of this. These things happen. It's not unheard of, especially where voter participation doesn't really measure up to what we would expect.
No, you're exactly right. And look, I represent probably one of the most conservative districts in Alabama, but that doesn't mean that there aren't Democrats in it, right? And so at the end of the day, when you have close elections, fortunately, mine wasn't close this primary, but when you have close elections, a couple hundred votes can make a difference. And this, and as long as we have open primaries, it can be impactful. And I think it has been in the past, and I think it will be again. It's something that a candidate has to take into account. From a public policy standpoint, we have to decide whether or not that's a good thing or not. And from a Republican Party standpoint, I sit on the state executive committee still, we got to decide whether or not this party function is something that you know, that we want to close down and that we are willing to take ownership of, because the counter to the argument is, of course, that these are public funds that we're using right now to run the primary.
Where were you on that last proposal, last session, you know, that came out of the House?
I think that we need to have more discussion on it. And Jeff, you know me, I'm usually one of those that will tell you point blank where I am on something one way or the other. But I think we need to seriously sit down and talk about it. It did not come up for a vote. I think we were rushed in dealing with a bunch of other things. I think that there are pros and cons, but I have not landed on it one way or the other. As soon as I do, I'll be sure to tell you, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Something he brought up to me, and I guess I was aware of it and been brought up to me, but not really as engaged. Baldwin County's search for a new school superintendent to fill the vacancy left by Eddie Tyler. Only two candidates applied. As you were telling me off air, I think there were some other applicants, but they withdrew their application. What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I didn't, you know, it's not up to me as a state senator to have a dog in the fight, obviously, as far as who the next superintendent is. And I don't really know either one of the candidates all that well. The selection has been in the school system for a while. I've certainly met Marty McCray, and but I've never really sat down and talked to him about any policy issues. But he's going to be the new superintendent. The concern for me, and I think the story, is that there were only really two applicants and that went through the process, and I think that is and should be, you know, from a 10,000 foot view, a little bit concerning. If, you know, why for the third largest school system in the state, why are there only two applicants? And what does that say about the health of our county school system as a whole? And I'm not saying that it does say anything. I just think that is that is a precautionary data point for me. And while, again, I don't have anything to do necessarily with the county school system, the health of that school system is very important to the overall health of our county. And seeing only two applicants is of concern, I think, when you look at things from a wider view.
Well, and so, I mean, was it a matter of just like, you know, you see red flags when you apply for a job like this, and did the school board just not do enough to get more applicants in the pool? I mean, what do you think are those possibilities?
Well, I know, and it shouldn't be a secret that I had spoken to several school board members a year or two ago, probably 2 years ago. And there's been drama surrounding the school system, right? It's been in the press and all over Facebook and everything else. And one of the things that I cautioned them on is really kind of, you know, staying the course too long, and that it may impact the applicant pool later down the road, right? So if you allow all of this drama to exist in the public sphere, you may have a harder time recruiting candidates or getting applicants to be interested in the job. And so that was a concern of mine years ago. And unfortunately, it seems to have come to fruition in that we only had a very limited number of candidates that were interested in the job. Now, I don't know why that is. I certainly don't think it's because nobody knew that they could apply. And I certainly don't think it's a compensation issue. I don't know what the compensation package is going to look like for the new superintendent, but I imagine it is generous from a public, you know, from a public employee standpoint. And so if it's not knowing about it, and it's not a salary issue, then why only two candidates? And I think that's something that we as a community, as a county, really need to take a step back at and look at and figure out why that is.
Senator Chris Blackshear was a guest on this show earlier this week, and two things he said, two different topics. But the first one I want to hit on is the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Now, the lawsuit with the legislature and the governor was settled but there's still some fires to be put out, and you're hearing that the private schools are meeting or about to meet or have met, or I'm not sure where that is, talking about going out on their own, that there's still some problems here lingering. And ask some outstanding questions about the governing of high school sports in the state. Is any discussions with the legislature about that?
I haven't heard any recently. I will tell you, I think Representative Blackshear is obviously an authority on that topic. He's been very involved in it. My involvement's been, you know, tangential, but certainly still there. I continue to hear frustration that the Alabama High School Athletic Association's priorities are not about kids playing sports, but rather they are about they are about protecting coaches and records. And that to me is concerning as a parent. I want our Alabama High School Athletic Association to be focused on kids and kids playing and being allowed to play so that they can be successful, and not about protecting the adults, their records, or playing a game of gotcha. And I think all too often that's what we get out of the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
The private schools going out, that creates a lot of turmoil, because then you create an entity where they can recruit. They set their own rules. They don't necessarily need the AHSAA, do they?
No, and that's another thing that I think it's indicative of a larger problem. And so if we're going to have leadership that acts in the manner that the High School Athletic Association acts, folks that can and have the ability to go do something else will. And that's the same argument that I make with city schools versus county schools, right? You can make whatever policies you want to, but if you have folks that have the ability to say the way you're doing it doesn't work for us, we're going to leave, then, and you don't take that into account in your decision-making process, then don't whine when they leave. And so I think you see the same things going on with private schools now. If they're in a position where they don't have to participate in the High School Athletic Association's governance, and they decide to go do something else on their own because it benefits their children and benefits them, then they'll go do it. And the fact that the High School Athletic Association isn't taking that into account is a leadership failure.
Last one here, we'll kind of wind it down. Gambling came up in our discussion, and Representative Blackshear said something interesting, you wonder about the balance of power in the gambling discussion with Senator Albritton losing in his primary and who's going to be the tip of the spear there. The rumor mill has that Tommy Tuberville is going to try to do something early, but according to Representative Blackshear, he's not aware of any discussions that something like that is coming on the way. He said on Capital Journal, in fact, that he wouldn't expect it even next year, but sometime maybe during the next quadrennium. Is there any reason to believe that this won't be something that comes up next session?
I don't anticipate it coming up next session. I think that the governor is going to have to be engaged on this topic. Coach is not the governor yet. He will be, shortly, within, 6 months or so. And then I expect for him to be engaged in this topic. But I don't think it's wise for us to run into this with a brand new governor who has not let his feelings be known on this yet. And so we'll have the opportunity to do that this first year of this session, in these first months, and go from there. But this is something that is complicated enough from a vote count standpoint that you want to have time for the new governor, the new administration to get into place. There are going to be new House members and new senators for them to get their hands around what is a very complex issue, instead of rushing into this to a point where you end up with yet another loss, another failure, another inability to do anything, which I think is a mistake. And so again, let's let Coach get in, let's let Coach engage on the topic before the legislature goes off half-cocked in the first year of the quadrennium.
What is the, I've heard, I think your colleague Sam Gavan is very opposed to it, doing the special session within the session on gambling. Like, is that, because that seems the most efficient way to do it, or anything for that matter. But that there's, I guess, it makes it a little more difficult to wheel a deal or talk about it or whatever. Is Is that something that your colleagues and you kind of frown upon doing it that way?
There are merits to that, and it might be this might be one of those topics that needs to be handled in a special session. And I say that mainly because if you don't, it ties up everything else. And I will tell you that one of my aversions to the gambling conversation is just that. It is so pervasive that it impacts every other piece of legislation. It dominates an entire session anyway. And so you may be ahead to segregate it as its own topic, as opposed to having it almost waste the entirety of a regular session when there are important pieces of legislation that need to be considered. And so my advice would be to do a special session on gaming if that's something that Coach wants to do, because you're going to end up with a one topic session either way if you decide to take up gaming, because it will dominate the entirety of the regular session.
Senator, we'll leave it there. You're always very generous with your time, and we'll do it again in a few weeks.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
A couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles. Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.